3, chapter 24, the renunciation of Kardama Muni, and we are reading text 9, which has a very short purport, so we'll probably read text 10. We will read text 10 also. But let us read text 9 now. You have text 9 on your sheets there? Yes? Did I chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya? No. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All right. Tat Kardamashrama Padam Saraswatya Parishritam Swayambho Sakam Rishibir Marichi Adibir Abhyayat Tatkardam Ashramapadam Saraswatya Parishritam Swayambhu Sakam Rishibhir Marichyadibhir Abhyayat Tatkardam Ashramapadam Saraswatya Parishritam Swayambhu Sakam Rishibhir Marichyadibhir Abhyayat Tatkardam Ashramapadam Saraswatya Parishritam Swayambhu Sakam Rishibhir Marichyadibhir Abhyayat Matajas. Tat that kardama of kardama ashrama padam to the place of the hermitage Saraswatiya by the river Saraswati Parishritam surrounded Swayambhu Brahma, the self-born, Sakam, along with Rishibhi, the sages, Marichi, the great sage Marichi, Adibhi, and others, Abhyayat, he came there. Translation. Brahma, the firstborn living being, went along with Marichi and other sages to the place of Kardama's hermitage, which was surrounded by the river Saraswati. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Brahma is called Swayambhu, because he is not born of any material father and mother. He is the first living creature and is born from the lotus which grows from the abdomen of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Garbhadakshay Vishnu. Therefore he is called Swayambhu, self-born. Can you just... Yeah, we need to adjust this a bit. Now, can you... In there, we've got to get the focus, would you believe, on me. No, yeah, but no. See, I wanted it around like that. Because, not that far. Like that. But now touch me, like in my chest or neck. Yeah, that's better. Okay, let's hope it stays like that. All right, devotees... I'll read text 10. Bhagavantam param brahma satvenam shena shatruhan tatva sankhyana vigyaptyai jatam vidvan aja swarat. Maitreya continued, O killer of the enemy, the unborn Lord Brahma, who is almost independent in acquiring knowledge, could understand that a portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his quality of pure existence, had appeared in the womb of Devahuti, just to explain the complete state of knowledge known as Sankhya Yoga. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter, it is stated that the Lord himself is the compiler of Vedanta Sutra, and he is the perfect knower of Vedanta Sutra. Similarly, the Sankhya philosophy is compiled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his appearance as Kapila. There is an imitation Kapila, who has a Sankhya philosophical system, but Kapila, the incarnation of God, is different from that Kapila. Kapila, the son of Kardama Muni, in his system of Sankhya philosophy, very explicitly explained not only the material world, but also the spiritual world. Brahma could understand this fact because he is Swarat, almost independent in receiving knowledge. Could you bring my hat, please? In receiving knowledge. He is called Swarat because he did not go to any school or college to learn, but learned everything from within. Because Brahma is the first living creature within this universe, he had no teacher. His teacher was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, who is seated in the heart of every living creature. It's in the pocket. Yeah. Brahma acquired knowledge directly from the Supreme Lord within the heart. Therefore, he's sometimes called Swarat and Aja. Another important point is stated here. Satvenam Shena. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, he brings with him all his paraphernalia of Vaikuntha. Therefore, his name, his form, his quality, his paraphernalia, and his entourage all belong to the transcendental world. Real goodness is in the transcendental world. Here, in the material world, the quality of goodness is not pure. Goodness may exist, but there must also be some tinges of passion and ignorance. In the spiritual world, the unalloyed quality of goodness prevails. There, the quality of goodness is called Shuddhasattva, pure goodness. Another name for Shuddhasattva is Vasudev, because God is born from Vasudev. Another meaning is that when one is purely situated in the qualities of goodness, he can understand the form, name, quality, paraphernalia, and entourage of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Amshena also indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appeared as Kapiladev in a portion of his portion. God expands either as Kala or as Amsha. Amsha means direct expansion, and Kala means expansion of the expansion. There is no difference between the expansion of the expansion, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly, as there is no difference between one candle and another. But still, the candle from which the others are lit is called the original. Krishna, therefore, is called the Parabrahman, or the ultimate Godhead and cause of all causes. Very nice. Okay, let us just read. What shall we read? We'll just read the verse 10 again, I think. Let me just check. Well, I'm going to read 9 and 10. Tatkaradam ashramapadam saraswacha parishitam swayambhu shakam rishabhya marichyadabhya abhyayat. Brahma, the firstborn living being, went along with Marichi and other sages to the place of Kardama's hermitage, which was surrounded by the river Saraswati. And verse 10, Bhagavantam param Brahma Satvenam Shena Shatruhan Tatvasankhyana Vigyaptyai Jatam Vidvan Aja Swarat. Maitreya continued, O killer of the enemy, the unborn Lord Brahma, who is almost independent in acquiring knowledge, could understand that a portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his quality of pure existence, had appeared in the womb of Devahuti, just to explain the complete state of knowledge known as Sankhya Yoga. Okay. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shmati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyacha Dejatarane Shishi Radha Radhanath Sri Girigo Vedan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakaputarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. All right. Yes, so everything is building up to the point of the actual appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Kapila. He hasn't quite appeared yet, but he is just about to appear. And in honor of such an extremely sacred occasion, most sacred occasion, the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore all these great personalities are coming. This happens when something great is about to happen in the universe, then great people assemble. Just, you know, very clear example. Here, Srimad Bhagavatam is being recited by Shukadev Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. And it's known that Maharaj Parikshit he's going to leave his body in a few days, just 1 week from the beginning of the recitation. We're already some way into the recitation, so after some days, Maharaj Parikshit is going to disappear, leave this world in a very unusual way. And he is a very great person. Of course, he's not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's a very great, one of the greatest of all devotees. And such personalities, the very great devotees, are considered non-different from the Supreme Lord in, at least in certain very important ways. Maybe not absolutely, but in certain very important ways. So because it was such an important occasion by universal standards, so many people came. Lord Shiva was there. Narada Muni was there. And other great sages and personalities were there. You might think it's even a bit morbid that someone is going to die, and so everyone gathers around, oh, we want to see someone die. They don't normally really do like that, I think, but I'm sure you've seen when there's an accident on the highway. We've got this nice highway to the airport, and there are regular accidents. Every now and then, at least, when we drive to the airport or to Phoenix or just somewhere that way, then there's an accident on the and even on the other side of the road, and it doesn't interfere with us. You know, we're traveling on the other side of the road, but everyone slows down. And even sometimes they really slow down to see the spectacle. So you might think, you know, it's just that sort of cheap voyeurism or something like that, which is going on here, or going on with Maharaj Parikshit as he's getting ready to leave and the whole recitation's going on and, yeah, big program happening. And all these people just want to see, oh, he's going to be bitten by a snake bird. Oh, I never saw that before. Oh, I want to see. But it's not. They know this is such a great personality. And his departure for the kingdom of God under any circumstances is so incredibly auspicious and beneficial. And if we're there when he actually returns to the kingdom of God, oh, we will get mercy. Just like similar situation when Bhishma was going to disappear, again, it was another great gathering. And not just to see, oh, he's lying on a bed of arrows. He's got arrows piercing his whole body just all over. Oh, we want to see, gosh. But again, great personality, one of the Mahajans, great authorities in Krishna consciousness, and he's going to go back to Godhead. So therefore, again, the same people basically gathered. Or when Haridas Thakur left this world, again, so many great devotees gathered, and Lord Chaitanya danced holding the dead body of Haridas Thakur. And you might think, dead body, you know, it's all a bit unpleasant. But Lord Chaitanya picked up his body and was dancing in ecstasy, celebrating the departure of a very amazing, absolutely top-class devotee back home, back to Godhead. So here, it's similar, at least, that there's a great personality, but not going to disappear, but going to appear. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is going to appear. And what nectar to witness that. So therefore they all are gathering. Lord Brahma, who himself is in the same category, basically, of greatness, like Maharaj Parikshit, like Lord Brahma, like Haridas Thakur. Actually, Haridas Thakur is a type of incarnation of Lord Brahma. That's, you know, that's another story, but that's there. And they're all gathering to see, to witness the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's so wonderful and so auspicious, and the blessings we'll get. Yeah. Just so wonderful. So here in this purport then of we could have given a class, I suppose, on verse 9 and its extremely short purport, but this is much more appropriate. So, yes, in the first paragraph, the first thing Srila Prabhupada explains, basically, is that this Kapila, who's just now coming, just about to appear, he is the real Kapila, because there was later, much, much later, it's just some hundreds of years ago, or I'm not even sure exactly, maybe 1,000 or so years ago, that this other Kapila appeared, who, Ram Govinda Maharaj may help me here, was the founder of the Jain philosophy. Oh, well. That's what I heard. The founder of the Jain philosophy. Anyone else heard that? Okay. Anyway. Well, yeah. The other Kapila, the atheist, he is the founder of Jainism, is it? Or... No, maybe not. Okay. All right. Anyway, whatever, whether he was or not, it doesn't matter. But definitely what he did, he spoke, he had the same name because it was a well-known name. Kapila. It was well-known in the society, like Vedic society in those days, that Lord Kapila speaks Sankhya philosophy, and this is very important, and he's very important and very glorious, and his philosophy is glorious. So to sort of, you might say, piggyback off that, if you know what I mean, to take advantage of the fact that people know about Kapila and his philosophy and how wonderful he is, therefore, this other person adopted the name Kapila and spoke a philosophy which was similar but different, not actually the same. I mean, it's the same in the sense that it is Sankhya philosophy. And Sankhya, the word Sankhya means to enumerate or analyze, sort of break down. Enumerate, yeah, in the sense of break, to analyze and break down. In the case of this other Kapila, the atheist, just the material nature, into its component elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, and so on. The different senses, the modes of nature, and all these things, 24 or so different elements which make up the picture of the material world, plus the soul, but not the super soul. Prabhupada makes the point here in the purport that Kapila, the son of Kardama Muni, in his system of Sankhya philosophy, very explicitly explained not only the material world, but also the spiritual world. The atheist Kapila, much more recent, because this is way back. What's happening right here? This is way back in history. It's not a few hundred or even a few thousand years. This is at the beginning of this day of Brahma, actually. That's an awfully long time ago. Okay, so this, our Kapila, if we say like that, the son of Kardama and Devahuti, he explains all the same things about the structure of the material universe, all the elements, and then how the soul exists beyond the manifest universe and all its components. But then he explained about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In many ways, we're going to be reading it for some time, actually. And he describes the Supreme Lord in many beautiful, different beautiful ways. And, yeah, the activities of the Supreme Lord. So as Prabhupada says, that he very explicitly explained not only the material world, but also the spiritual world. The much more recent Kapila didn't do that, other than talk about the soul as being distinct from material nature. Yes. So, you know, this practice of, you know, the term is sometimes used, piggybacking off someone who's already established to take advantage of the fact that the fact and the way that that person is established, and then establish yourself, not by your own real qualification, but really on the basis of the qualification of the first person. This is a fairly typical way of cheating in the material world. Yes. And, you know, for example, there are so many versions of Bhagavad Gita, particularly if you go to India in Hindi language or the North Indian languages, but I guess particularly Hindi. You get so many. We've got enough in English. We've got enough in English. But you go to India and different versions of Bhagavad Gita translated by and commented upon someone who is not in the disciplic succession. And in many cases, who is not at all a devotee, may actually just be an outright impersonalist, like the Shankarites. There are all sorts of translations and commentaries of Bhagavad Gita by the outright Mayavadi followers of Shankaracharya, and what to speak of his commentary also. And then there are so many others who are like quasi-devotees. I remember many years ago when we were in Cato Ridge, so it means the early 80s, like 40 years ago. Can you imagine? Where were you 40 years ago? Elsewhere. Previous body. I was in Cato Ridge Temple. And for some reason, I read Mahabharat by Kamala Subramanyam. You heard of her? She's, you know, somewhat famous translator, and it's translation with some, you know, commentary built in. It's not like Nectar of Devotion where there's, you know, very clear commentary, a lot of commentary. But, you know, every now and then she would throw in some idea. Otherwise, it was mainly for the story that I read it. So, okay. So we came to the point where Krishna is about to leave this world. And our Hare Krishna, Kamala Subramanyam, maybe I shouldn't have even mentioned her name, she starts, you know, translating and making a few comments about this. And she says, yes, Krishna, in this avatar, he had become a human. So, just, he was a human. Yeah, that's it. He's a human. All right. And now, Krishna was, he'd been through so much. You know, he'd been through, wow, all sorts of ups and downs and different things, dramatic things happening. And now Krishna was tired of living. Krishna wanted to die. And I thought, Hari Bol. And it was basically, I mean, she said specifically those things. Yeah. And then she carried on, and I forget exactly what else she said, but I remember those things from 40 years ago and thinking, oh my God, you know, who are the unfortunate people who are reading this? And why is she What right does she have to write this and give her own bright little ideas? She doesn't have the right. And then it was clear, she's piggybacking. Because Mahabharat is, in India at least, so popular, so totally popular, that if you have a flair for language, you know, like Hindi particularly, this was in English, but if you've got a flair and you can express things nicely in colorful ways, attractive ways, and I guess translate a language, then you can translate Mahabharat in very attractive ways. So innocent people who are attracted, interested, and they like some stimulating sort of manner of expression, they'll think, oh, we must buy this. And they do. And in this way, the people, the translators, commentators, become rich. Or at least they live, but probably, I'm sure many of them become rich. Just taking advantage of the actual qualification which is there with Srila Vyasadeva in disciplic succession and benefiting themselves, while at the same time, because of their lack of qualification, they are negatively affecting their audience. I remember also, I don't know if I should get into this too much, but we used to, in ISKCON Cape Town, we had a set of Ramayan. What was the fellow's name? Saga, right? Ramanan Saga, Ramayan. A set of the video cassettes. And some of the devotees would watch these things. Don't ask me how many times they saw this whole serial. But I remember just walking into the room one time, sitting down, and there was Lord Ram, supposedly. He's in exile, and there he is. He's in the forest, and he is meeting with some sages, and the sages are preaching to Lord Ram, you know, who's in the role of a Kshatriya, so he's listening to the sages. And the sages, I remember so clearly, it's another thing stuck in my mind, and I thought, oh no. They told Lord Ram that yes, actually, it is all one. Yes. There's just Brahman. And it's all one. And any differences you see, it's all illusion. Just classic impersonal philosophy. And there was Lord Ram. I remember so clearly. Lord Ram was sitting there with a very, like, you know, serious look on his face, nodding his head. Like, yeah, right. Thank you. I'm learning from you sages. And I thought, oh, no. Oh, no. And how many people saw that? I remember driving to the airport in Delhi to fly out one time on whatever day it was at exactly the time that Ramayan was showing. I think it may have been Sunday morning. Anyway, whatever, it was the time. And Delhi was deserted. It was deserted. It was deserted. Really. So many people were watching. Ah, huge number. And hearing. Huh? No parliament also. Ah, Krishna. And they're all hearing that it's all one. and there are no differences. And they're seeing Lord Ram, the Supreme Lord, nodding. Yes, very good. So it's Kali Yuga. It's Kali Yuga. It's really Kali Yuga. It's shocking. It's disgusting, actually. It's worse than disgusting. It's just, you know, it's hellish, you could say. All right. Anyway, so that's explained there. And various other things. Lord Brahma, almost independent in acquiring knowledge. That's amazing. Because he didn't go to any school. He got the knowledge from within. It doesn't mean there's just some impersonal kind of source, a fountain of knowledge inside. Means the Supreme Lord dictated to him from within. So, therefore, it's sort of like he's almost independent, Lord Brahma. Nobody saw that there's the Lord preaching to him. Yeah. Aha. And then, in the next part, Prabhupada goes on to make a number, actually, of interesting points that sattvenam shena angsha, angshena, sattvena angshena is the sort of the structure. Sattva meaning goodness, sattvena, so by goodness, through goodness, angshena, this ena means by. It's instrumental case. By goodness and by being an angsha, by being a direct expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord appeared like that. Not just ordinary mode of goodness, because in material life, the ordinary mode of goodness never really exists in and of itself, independent of the other modes. It may become fairly close, but it doesn't actually manifest simply as goodness without any adulteration at all. So, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is in complete goodness with no tinge of passion or ignorance. And if you really want to get into it, not even really a tinge of the material mode of goodness. Shuddha sattva is like a fourth stage, a fourth condition of existence. It's not just a pure form of the third form, the mode of goodness, sattva gun. It's actually a separate thing. It's transcendental to all the modes, and it's even transcendental to the material mode of goodness, shuddha sattva. So it's from this condition, in this condition, by this potency, the internal potency of the Lord, shuddha sattva, that Lord Kapila is appearing. Not just by some very nice, especially nice material goodness, but by something different. The transcendental manifestation of pure goodness, which Prabhupada mentions in the purport is an interesting little point. Shuddha sattva, another name for shuddha sattva is Vasudev. Now we know there's Vasudev and then there's Vasudev. Is it working? There's some interference. Okay. Anyway, we know of Vasudev and we know of Vasudev. Short A, long A. When Krishna appeared in the prison house of Kamsa, the father Of course, Krishna doesn't exactly have a father, but in terms of the Leela, the father was Vasudev. And there is a practice in Vedic society that in some cases, not in all, or maybe not even that many, but definitely in some cases, when a son is born of a father, the son may be given the same name, but with a little difference. And this is the case here. The father is Vasudev. So Krishna was known as Vasudev. And Vasudev is another name for this transcendental state of Shuddhasattva. And just as Krishna, Vasudev, appears from Vasudev, the person, Krishna, in terms of sort of like the situation or the environment, something like that, from which or by which he appears, Krishna appears from or by Shuddhasattva. It's the same thing. Krishna, Vasudeva appears from Vasudev. Krishna appears from Shuddhasattva. Shuddhasattva and Vasudev are synonyms. Just like six, half a dozen. It's just the same thing. It's just two words for the same thing. So Vasudev and Shuddhasattva, just two terms for one thing. That transcendental state of existence, which is there in the spiritual world, and from which and by which the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears within this world whenever he may appear. So, sattve namshena. The word amshena, Prabhupada says, indicates that Krishna appeared as Kapila in a portion of his portion. So the Lord appears either as Kala, well, he appears in different sort of capacities, you could say, Kala or Angsha. Angsha means direct expansion. Kala means expansion of an expansion. A little more distant from the Lord. Although it's still the Lord, it's not someone else, but still a little distant, a little more distant from the original source. Elsewhere, Prabhupada translates Kala as a part of a part, whereas Angsha is a part. So like this. So, of course, in principle, we know there are all sorts, many different types of forms of the Lord appearing with different capacities. Some have the full capacity, but they don't show it all. They just show some. Some don't have the full capacity. They show, they've got some capacity of the Lord directly, and they show it, but it's not the full capacity, whereas others have the full capacity, but they only show some of it. And therefore Krishna, even though, as Prabhupada says, there is no difference between the expansion of the expansion, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly means Krishna himself. As there's no difference between one candle and another, but still the candle from which the others are lit is called the original. Krishna therefore is called the Parabrahman, or the ultimate Godhead and cause of all causes. Yeah. And this term, in the first line of the verse, Bhagavantam Param Brahma. Bhagavantam, of course, meaning the Supreme Lord. But Param Brahma, this Kapila, is a manifestation directly of the Lord Himself. Nothing partial, no compromise or limitation or whatever you might call it. He's directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Satvenam Shena, appearing from the Vasudev state. Just as Krishna appeared, Vasudev, from the Vasudev state of the transcendental pure goodness. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Maharaj. Apko. You want to say something? Huh? Oh my God, Krishna. You're too generous. Oh, wow. It's right here. No. Vasudev. Yeah. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. On Ramayana, the most bona fide? So the question is, what is the most bona fide version of Ramayana that we could read? The answer to the question is, it's not absolutely clear. But I know when the BBT wanted and started to translate Ramayana, They use just the Gita Press version, if you know what Gita Press is. It's a big printing house in India, and they print all religious books. Yeah, all the classic religious books. So they were using that. But then they reached a point, and then they became a little unsure. Is it really bona fide enough? Because they found some things which sort of conflicted with some other information we've got in Parampara. But anyway, you know, there's a devotee, Krishna Dharma. He's a very nice devotee. I used to know him a little many years ago. In Prabhupada's time, just after that. So I'm sure he's tried his best. Okay. I would not venture beyond that. Even that, you know. The best thing is what is there in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, because that is absolutely right. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.